Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, Yehovah is our God, Yehovah is one. Shalom, I'm Reggie Lisenby on behalf of the Messianic Ministry to Israel. Our work of ministry is taking the gospel of Yeshua back to where it came from, back to the Jewish people, back to Israel, back to Jerusalem. You recall that the Great Commission was to Jerusalem, Judea, and then the uttermost part of the earth. Well, here we are in the uttermost, taking the gospel back to where it belongs, back to the Jewish people. We think that that's prophetic. In fact, the Lord has always had a remnant, but we find today that many, many Jewish people are coming to faith in their Messiah, their Mashiach, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. On this program, we're going to be talking about Resurrection Sunday, which is today, April 28, 2024. Easter was 3 weeks too early. We'll talk about why. The Biblical Feast of Bikurim, the Feast of First Fruits, on this program. Stay with us. Thousand years ago, the nation of Israel selected, observed, killed, slaughtered, cooked, and ate their Passover lamb chops. But they missed the Lamb of God for Passover, who was slain on the tree for their sins. How could they have missed him? They miss him still. 2,000 years ago, the ungodly generation of Israel were keeping their Feast of Passover, Feast of Unleavened Bread, breaking their matzah, wrapping the broken bread, perhaps playing hide-and-seek with the children and the afikoman, dipping the middle loaf of bread into this sweet kroset, while they missed the unleavened bread of God. Messiah Yeshua, who was born in Beit Lechem, or House of Bread, he was the holy, what is it, the holy manna from heaven, given to them for life. And he was pierced for them, striped, broken, wrapped, and buried in the oven of the earth for their sins. How could they have missed him? The bread from heaven. The nation of Israel misses him still. And 2,000 years ago, Yeshua was taken down off the cross in time to be placed in the earth before his father's next feast, the Feast of Bikurim, or the Feast of First Fruits. On Sunday, the first day of the week after Passover, after unleavened bread, the Feast of First Fruits was when Jews came to the Mishkan, the temple, with their first fruits as a wave offering to Elohim, to God. They had their sacrificial male lamb to be offered to Yehovah, although Yehovah was no longer accepting lambs. The final lamb had given his life for all sins of all times. When suddenly someone gasped, probably screamed, and everyone turned to see the rabbi from Nazareth, whom Israel had murdered 3 days earlier. With Yeshua, the Lamb of God, were dead men walking through the streets of Yerushalayim, according to Matityahu. Saints are holy ones, men and women from the Tanakh, from the Old Testament, who had died, resurrected with Yeshua. On the Feast of First Fruits, they had come out of Sheol with Yeshua, and these were Yeshua's first fruits. Well, here's my question for us today on this program. Easter was March the 31st. Passover was this past Monday, April the 22nd. How did Easter get before Passover? Why did we celebrate Passover this past Monday after Easter Sunday? Something's not right there. Well, it's not God's calendar. Easter is set according to the Gregorian calendar, not according to God's calendar. So as you listen to this program, you may be surprised to know that today, April the 28th, 2024, is the real Easter Sunday. Today is Resurrection Sunday. Today is the Feast of First Fruits. Google it. Ask Siri. Ask Google, when is Resurrection Sunday or First Fruits 2024? And the answer will be given April the 28th, 2024. And then you ask Siri or ask Google, when is Easter 2024? And the reply will be, Easter is March the 31st, 2024. What? According to the Divine Library, Yeshua was the Passover lamb on Passover. He was the unleavened bread put in the oven of the earth just in time for the Feast of Unleavened Bread. He came out of the oven, out of the earth, on first fruits, the Feast of Bikurim. His ghost, his spirit, blew into the upper room, Acts chapter 2, on the next feast, which is the Feast of Pentecost, and there are three left. The Feast of Trumpets, that happens about September of the year. 10 days later is Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, and 5 days after that is Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles. So you can see our calendar, our worldly secular Gregorian calendar, is not God's calendar. That's another topic for another time. Let's talk about today, the real Resurrection Sunday, the Feast of Bikurim, the Feast of First Fruits, and the Resurrection of Yeshua. The Resurrection of Yeshua is the epicenter of the gospel. The Resurrection of Yeshua verifies everything. The Resurrection of Yeshua authenticates the 300-plus messianic prophecies announced in the Tanakh or the Old Testament. The resurrection of Yeshua validates the biblical claims of Yeshua's virgin birth, Yeshua's sinless life, Yeshua's deity, Yeshua's death for all sins, Yeshua's fulfillment of all the Old Testament types, hints, innuendos, and Yeshua's victory over the dark domain, the evil, wicked, vile, horrid, and abominable powers that once ruled the world, spreading fear of death. The resurrection of Yeshua qualifies Yeshua as the true Mashiach, the true Messiah of Israel, and secures us that he is indeed the Savior of humanity. The resurrection of Yeshua qualifies Yeshua to be the second and the last Adam, who will rule the world as God's viceroy and monarch, blessing all the families of the earth from the Holy Land. The resurrection of Yeshua qualifies Yeshua to be the new Kohen Gadol, or the new high priest of the Melchizedekian order, which annuls the former old and obsolete Aaronic priesthood and the Mosaic covenant, according to Hebrews 8:13. The resurrection of Yeshua confirms the severing of a marriage to 611 laws of the Old Covenant, according to Romans 7:4. The resurrection of Yeshua solidifies Yeshua's deity, that he is the Son of the living God and the only way of salvation. The resurrection of Yeshua guarantees Yeshua's theistic worldview. The resurrection of Yeshua demonstrates that belief in him, in Yeshua, is not only relevant, but is absolutely necessary for life, peace, joy, happiness, and eternal life in the afterlife with God. The resurrection of Yeshua congeals salvation. The resurrection of Yeshua substantiates the Holy Scriptures as inerrant, infallible, and trustworthy. The resurrection of Yeshua justifies a holy God willing and wanting to forgive sinful man. The resurrection of Yeshua substantiates Yeshua to be who he said he was. And the resurrection of Yeshua endorses everything Yeshua said about God, himself, the adversary, who we were in Adam, who we are now as believers in Yeshua, and Shemayim, heaven, and Sheol, Hades, hell. The resurrection of Yeshua warrants our new identity. It is the resurrection of Yeshua that verifies unbelievers to be blind, lost, unregenerate, children of the devil, and in desperate and immediate need of salvation. The resurrection of Yeshua is the greatest arsenal in spiritual warfare for attacking unbelief and also spiritual and religious lethargy. The resurrection of Yeshua is the gospel, the Besorah. Therefore, it is extremely important that we convey His miraculous getting up from the grave, our zenith apologetic and presentation of the gospel to skeptics, agnostics, doubters, and unbelievers of the truths of the Holy Scriptures. The gospel, the Besorah, was first preached to Avraham, the father of all the Yehudim, the father of all the Jews, and the father of all in faith, according to Galatians 3:8. Throughout the Tanakh, Yeshua is shown to be the prophet, the priest, and the king who's coming, who must die, and who will rise again. The New Testament scriptures proclaim Yeshua to be that prophet, that priest, and that king. Yeshua is the very Son of God who fulfilled the ancient 300-plus prophecies, as we said earlier. The resurrection of Yeshua substantiates the colossal truth of Yeshua as the very Word of God who has come alive and dwelt among us. Yeshua is the embodiment of all truth. To make a valid apologetic for the case of Messiah's resurrection, we need first to examine the historical facts that anyone must discover and acknowledge if they are to be enlightened. Second, we need to challenge theories that are actually speculations, notions, and false hypotheses, which have misinformed and misled people away from the truth of Yeshua's resurrection. Third, we want to present the historical evidence for Messiah's resurrection in concert with the biblical prophecies of Yeshua, so that unbelievers may step into the light of the gospel. The final absolute and necessary truth for the resurrection of Yeshua is the radical change of life that supernaturally happens when one is born again, birthed into the heavenly kingdom of God that true believers in Yeshua exhibit. Believers cannot help but exhibit the new life in us. It is a real spirit that has birthed us into His kingdom. We may not excuse those who apologize for their sinful lifestyle while claiming to be a Christian. These have been deceived by the devil. In order to present a persuasive and compelling apologetic of Messiah Yeshua's resurrection, I must be that proof. You must be that proof. How I have been changed by Him. How you have been changed by Him. Our resurrected Lord Yeshua has given to all who are His very Ruach, His very Spirit, and His Chaim, His life. If we are truly born again or regenerated, we are not of this earthly worldly kingdom. Rather, we are alien to this worldly kingdom in thought, behavior, lifestyle, and destiny. The life of Messiah is one of believing and praying to believe more, struggling with sin while yearning to be free, walking in light and love while failing in both, all because we drag around the old man for sure, our old self, not yet put to death. Yet we are overcoming. If anyone is not experiencing the resurrected life within, although admittedly, as I just said, it's gradual and takes a lifetime, then he or she has not been introduced to the biblical Yeshua, and their testimony of being saved is invalid. We believe in Yeshua's resurrection because the biblical resurrection is not just what happened to Yeshua 2,000 years ago, but it has happened, and it is still happening within us who are his bride and his body. At death, we will ascend from this mortal body to the presence of Yeshua and our God. We have the testimony of the resurrected life within us. His life is our life. His death is our death. His resurrection is our resurrection. His eternity is our eternity. Christians live the resurrected life daily. This life is as real as Yeshua, for it is his life within us. We must have the testimony that we are overcoming, although we do fail in some areas of life every day. This is not a contradiction. It is reality of maturing as a saint or as saints, which we are. Natural man's default faith is unbelief. People are skeptics until a thing is shown to be true, and this skepticism includes religious beliefs and even the potent claims of Yeshua. It is quite natural to be lost in sin, to be an unbeliever. That is natural. The natural man has great difficulty believing Yeshua in everything the Holy Scriptures proclaim him to be. It is only by the power of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, that his word, the divine library, becomes believable to any of us, that we come to be biblically enlightened to truth. It is God who enlightens us to the claims of his Holy Scriptures. It is God who gives us the spiritual gift of faith. Faith does not happen of oneself. Faith is a gift, Ephesians 2:8 says. True, authentic Christians are biased toward the claims of the Holy Scriptures. The biblical authors of the Bible were biased. The Talmudim, or disciples of Yeshua, were biased. Christians who have been intellectually converted? Well, we were once unbelieving, but were given a prod by God to seek enlightenment to our questions about life and purpose, death and eternity, and especially about Yeshua and his claim to be the way, truth, and life of God, and the only door to God. Understanding all of that is true is our bias. A sad truth is that many Christians have not developed and matured in their faith and are unable to show substantial proof of their faith. The only way of doing that is by knowing the Word of God, the Holy Scriptures, and living by its truths. Christians should, we must, be able to give an intelligent and scriptural apologetic for the resurrection of Yeshua prophesied in the Tanakh and fulfilled in the Bet Kaddishah, or the New Testament, by our life, by our work, and by our words. Let me ask you, beloved, could you this very moment take your Bible and show someone who is Jewish the prophecies of the resurrection of Yeshua, the Messiah of Israel, announced in the Tanakh or the Old Testament, and proofs of the fulfillment of these Old Testament prophecies in the Brit Kaddishah or the New Testament? Many Christians know very little of the claims and proofs of Yeshua. Christians are infamous for throwing stones at unbelievers who dare question their claims of Yeshua, his crucifixion, his resurrection, while they may not themselves know the Word of God well enough to show the prophecies and the proofs of his resurrection. We need to awaken biblical ignorance and to give help to both believers and unbelievers concerning the resurrection of Yeshua. We do not want to encourage anyone, not even ourselves, to make a leap of faith. That's not biblical. What leap of faith? Followers of Yeshua live by the light of God's truths. Believing in the resurrection of Yeshua is not a leap of faith. It's a step into the light. No leap in the dark for me, thank you. I want to know, and I do know, and I want others to know, of the enlightenment that comes by reading, studying, and knowing the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. And we believe, and therefore we do know. We know that Yeshua's resurrection was certain because of the messianic prophecies and the absolute proofs we have of their fulfillment. We do not believe in the resurrection of Yeshua because of a leap of faith. We know. Our apologetic for the resurrection of Yeshua is valid, and we should challenge unbelievers to step into the light. Attorneys, historians, physicians, scientists, and other proficient and trained experts wishing to make their case, data entry, diagnosis, hypothesis, or thesis will show evidence of inductive research methods. One investigates a matter, views priority sources, obtains eyewitness testimonies, and eventually reaches factual evidence. With the same exploration, the same investigation and inquisition to find answers for the resurrection, we discover there are historical facts pertaining to the death, burial, and resurrection of Yeshua. For example, number one, Yeshua claimed to be Habin Elohim, the Son of God, and that he would be raised on the third day. And that was prior to his crucifixion. Number two, Yeshua, a Jewish man from the tribe of Yehuda, tribe of Judah, and a leader of a separatist band of Talmudim, of disciples, was crucified. No one questions that. Number three, the death of Yeshua is credited as believable not only by Christian academics and Christian scholars and Christian theologians, but secular historians, researchers, professionals, and average Joes affirm Yeshua's death by crucifixion. That is hardly questioned. Fourth, Yeshua, a Jew claiming to be the Messiah of Israel, was taken down from the cross after his death by his Talmudim, by his disciples, and he was buried in a tomb, said to be a borrowed tomb. Number five, Yeshua's 11 intimate Talmudim, his intimate disciples, and many others, mostly Jewish men and women, who loved and served him, were greatly bereaved and discouraged by his crucifixion, his death, and burial. Number six, Yeshua's tomb became empty, whether by Yeshua's own accord, that is, he did not die, but he swooned, or he was helped by someone, or his body was stolen, or he resurrected. The tomb in which Yeshua was buried was reported to have been empty. The empty tomb of Yeshua is believable. One doesn't need to have faith to believe in an empty tomb. Number seven, Yeshua's Jewish Talmudim, his 11 disciples, and 500 followers had legitimate experiences they believed to have been the result of having been with the risen, resurrected Jewish Messiah, Yeshua. Number eight, Yeshua's Jewish Talmudim, his disciples, and other followers were changed from timid doubters into bold witnesses and zealots for the proclamation of Yeshua's resurrection. Number nine, Yeshua's Jewish Talmudim began proclaiming his resurrection immediately after Yeshua's resurrection. Number 10, Yeshua's Talmudim proclaimed the resurrection of Yeshua in Yerushalayim, the very Jewish city where the Jewish Messiah, Yeshua, had been crucified and buried. Number 11, Yeshua's death and resurrection became and remains the hallmark of the gospel message. Number 12, Yeshua's messianic church was birthed by Jews exclusively. The whole first church was Jewish, and all believed Yeshua had resurrected.
This program is a production of Messianic Ministry to Israel. If you are blessed by the biblical content we share each week, would you please consider giving a gift of support to our mission board? Messianic Ministry to Israel is a 501c3 nonprofit ministry. and your gift will help cover the necessary expenses associated with this broadcast and help keep our program on the air. You can give securely at our website, www.mmisrael.org, or you may call 423-855-4818. That's 423-855-4818. Also, would you let us know that you listen to our program each week? That would be very encouraging to us. Thank you very much for praying for Messianic Ministry to Israel, and thank you for your generous gift of support. Shalom Bayit. Peace to your house.
Thank you for listening to Messianic Ministry to Israel, a mission board since 1944. Learn more about our ministry at mmisrael.org.